Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And of course, I have Sam Rodriguez.
That's me.
Yeah, so I don't want to say, I'm going to say Ziggy. That is your nickname.
Yes.
But we had an email from a lady, thank you, Peggy, who said, I heard this guest name at the beginning, something Stardust.
Mr. Stardust.
Mr. Stardust. Hi, Peggy, thanks for your email. It is Sam Rodriguez.
Sam Rodriguez.
Used his real name today, just for your benefit and for all those who were like, who is this guy? Anyway, yeah. That's a longer story.
Or if you want to use my my full, it's Captain Stardust.
Captain Stardust, yeah, that's going to get you far. And of course, we have, I think Venerable Tom is a better nickname.
Thank you.
Because you're on your way to heaven,
yes.
Right there. Yeah,
that's
you're on the way to sainthood.
Yes.
We're all on the way to sainthood.
Yes, we
Some
are.
Some are further away than others, but Venerable, is that's one of the... Yeah. One of the steps.
I don't know if Captain is better than Venerable or Venerable is better than
Captain. I'm going to go with Venerable.
Are you?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go with Venerable.
Because I was hoping I might become a Captain.
Yeah. Captain Venerable.
But I guess he needs to hope he becomes Venerable.
Well, you know, Tom, I think you should be a Major.
Yes.
Major Tom.
Ground control. Here we go.
Man, these Ziggy Stardust references are going way too far. So we are going to talk today about, I think that this is an issue that's near and dear to most people now. It didn't used to always be this way, but I think it is. And the experience I've had is like when I'm preaching or teaching and I'm talking to a group of people, and I'm usually preaching or teaching to the choir, right? They're there either at Holy Mass or they are in the church gathered together to hear a talk on such and such. So they're kind of already in the club, as it were, right? But when I start to talk about things like, you know, kids that don't want to go to Mass anymore, and even further, kids that have left the church, using that phrase, kids who have left the church, it's incredible to me to watch and maybe to sort of perceive the pain of loss, the confusion, the bitterness, the sadness, all those different feelings in the people, and how I can actually see them kind of lean forward as if I'm going to give them something that's like, finally, we're going to get the answer how to get my kids back into the church, or my friend, my, you know, maybe they're estranged from their spouse, you know, their parents or their aunt, uncle, whoever. It's like family members, people that they know and people that they love have left the church. And this is becoming increasingly more likely to happen. And more prevalent in the world. And having just done a show last week, and we did a show about the Catholic Church in a pagan world, you know, we talked about that New Polity show that we listened to, podcast, and it's like we just wanted to kind of do a round two.
Yeah.
Because there really is a problem, and I think that problem at its root philosophically becomes atheism, or disinterestedism, I don't know what you call it, but, you know, maybe not dealing with things so philosophically, but there's a real problem out there with people who don't go to church because
yes.
They don't believe in God, because they're not, they don't see it as relevant. You know, sometimes I remember being young and dumb, right? I just remember making mistakes when I was younger because I thought I was going to live forever, right? And now when I say young and dumb, it's kind of sad because there are people, those same mistakes, they're making eternal mistakes, you know, I think.
Stephen Wright said, I want to live forever. So far, so good.
Yeah. He is a poet who didn't know it. He definitely is a philosopher of our time. I kind of wanted to do a show where we talked a little bit about from the perspective of when loved ones, when family, when friends. Sam, you don't have any kids, so far so good. You don't have any kids.
I want kids.
Yes, I know you do. And but you have a lot of spiritual children online. You really do. I mean, there's a, you have a lot of you're on so many different message boards and from the olden days. You moderate a lot of discussions and you're involved in a lot of things, and so you're more in touch with the we'll just say the digital beast than we are.
Well, and there's also personal relationships with friends and family who are either have left the church or are very much outside the church and have no interest in coming to mass ever. Well,
and they speak as if it's like they're totally divorced from it and they don't care.
Right.
Right. They don't really even speak of. They see no eternal consequences. They're not moved by it. They don't miss anything. Maybe they're okay every once in a while to make mom and dad happy by going to mass or making their brother or sister or whatever happy by showing up at Easter or Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time seeing somebody who was, we'll just say, very high up in a major corporation. And I've never seen him at our parish before, but when we were doing midnight mass, on the Christmas midnight mass, Christmas Eve, he comes walking in, you know, and it's like I'm thinking, you know, he doesn't go to this parish, so if he chose our parish for midnight mass, maybe we were blessed, maybe he regularly goes somewhere, but I just kind of sense that maybe there's some part of him that harkens back to remembering as a kid fond memories of Christmas and going to church and hearing the choir and I don't know, those kinds of things. And so there's a hunger, I think, inside people, but really when it comes down to believing in God and thinking that this is relevant in their lives, most people don't. I mean, I'm going to say it. Most people don't think that God is relevant.
Well, and then some people are very angry towards the church and Christianity in general. Yeah. You have a lot of people. And, you know, the church, there are ways in which we need to, there are certain people that we need to work on how we're pastoring and how we're reaching, and that's true. But, you know, at the end of the day, on the opposite side of the fence, you've got people who are preying upon wounds that people have to stir up anger against the church and to make the church look like.
Well, I know it's a regular cottage industry. I mean, it really is something, especially online. You see that all the time, and you think. When I see that stuff, I have to turn a blind eye to it. I just have to ignore it because I go, I know all the answers as to that. None of this bothers me because I understand where the fallacies in their logical argument. And the thing is, though, there are also people I think that have I do not want to delegitimize people's feelings and thoughts and their arguments, but a lot of times there's straw man arguments.
Yeah.
Right. I the number of times I've heard Sam's like, well, Father so and so yelled at me in the confessional, which I want to go. I've never heard of a priest yelling at a penitent. Maybe they do. Maybe the priest was having a bad day. Maybe they said something that was perceived that way or whatever. But a lot of times it's like, so you're going to leave the church founded by Jesus, where the sacraments, where Jesus is physically, spiritually, body, blood, soul, and divinity present to you in Eucharist. You're going to leave that because of some obnoxious priest, right? Well, that's a straw man to me. I look at that and go like, you're making an argument that you're kind of creating a situation that makes it like legitimate that you left. Really, I don't even know if we have the answers as to why people leave.
Right.
But they do. And I guess the perspective I want to take from this is what do we do as parents, as brothers, as sisters, as aunts or uncles, as friends, co-workers, what do we do with this situation? What can we do? Mm-hmm. Right? What are the things that we can be active in doing in trying to help people find their way back? Because I think there's a lot of sadness on the part of those who go to church every Sunday and they're sitting there and they're either alone or their family is flying the missing man formation, right? There's mm-hmm. one of their kids just isn't there mm-hmm. because they don't do anymore. They're just not, you know, they had that talk and they finally had enough courage to say to mom or dad, I just don't believe this stuff. And I think it's hypocritical for me to go and sit and then not believe, mm-hmm. right? So what do you do? Maybe we should start with what do you don't do, right? So I'm going to start there because I think there's a lot of common mistakes we make. I've received personally, I'm holding up my fingers. There's thousands. I've got thousands of fingers. Well, people say, like, will you talk to my son? Will you talk to my daughter? Because the way you say it is really good, and I want you to explain this biblical passage. I want you to explain this church teaching. I want you to explain it in a way that they will understand it. What you said was like, I'm like, and I'm thinking, you know what's the sad thing is sometimes I've blurted it out, and I didn't want to blurt it out because I don't want to hurt their feelings or hurt them any more than they're already hurting. But I'll say, no, you know, will you talk to, no. And they're like, what? It's like, because it's not going to do any good. Now, if they come to me, if those kids or those people who are like have left come to me, it's like, well, I'm happily I will talk to them because they're searching. But you can't search for your child.
Yeah.
Right. You can't give them a pat answer because they don't want that answer. Right.
They feel they're being talked at.
100%
versus talk and, to and, or
right,
with
or with and or having a conversation or someone right. who listens to their griefs. Right. And the other thing is, like, the person that comes to me and says, will you talk to my kid, that person already believes, and so the arguments that I might say are things they wholeheartedly go, yep, he's right. Mm-hmm. But they already believe that.
Right.
The kid doesn't believe that. Right. And so me saying it's not gonna make them believe it. Now, sometimes, every once in a while, it'll cause them to have, a little chink in the armor, a little something where they've put up this front that they don't. But I've, you know, some argument that we'll hear, like that a great apologist or a great speaker will say, they're like, well, I never really thought about that, and those are seeds that could possibly yield fruit later on, but rarely have there ever been conversions based on. I talked to that child, and all of a sudden they had a conversion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Holy Spirit has to do this.
Yeah.
And completely. The kid has to be willing.
And you that child or that person, whoever they are with regard to you, they're in your life, and they're going to continue to be a part of your life. And, you know, our faith is an incarnational faith. God desires to enflesh the good news in us.
Mm, yeah.
And so the more that we focus on growing in our own personal relationship with God, our own openness to God, and our willingness, you know, to pray and to fast for that person, and to try to grow in virtue and grow in our capacity to witness Christ to others, that can have a huge transformation on the people around us, including those people that are on our hearts and minds, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we create a space around us that people are welcome. We are welcoming people into that space. And if you create a space where they can get to experience the love of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and we're, you know, God never, he never said the same thing over and over again. He always said exactly what that person needed to hear. We're not able to do that on our own because we're not God. But we have access to God.
Yeah,
we are created to be vessels. If we focus on setting aside, because sometimes we fallible humans that we are, we can sometimes get our emotions can get the better of us. Mm-hmm. Where we may want to, like, you know, get really angry and say, "Listen here, you're a real jerk for not believing this." That's, you know, that's not going to be helpful at all.
That's usually not that nasty.
Yeah.
Sam, they usually say something like, "You know, you're going to go to hell if you keep going down this path."
Right, but the point is that. Well, some people do need to hear the news of hell. I mean, frankly, well, it's a part of the good news.
I know, but they're not. But when your kid has decided they don't,
right.
It's not. That's not going to work.
That's not going to be helpful. And so
now Tom's got all of his kids are perfectly firmly ensconced in the Catholic Church. Well, I say that jokingly because I've got 9 kids, which means I've got everything from an axe murderer to you've got all the different folks there. Especially when you have more kids, there's always going to be some outliers. There's going to be some that aren't following that path as you'd want them to follow, mm-hmm. as you desire, as much as you love them. Just affirm me here, but threatening hell or eternal damnation has never worked, has it?
No, it doesn't work.
Because when they're not ready to receive that, they're not. It's just going to become
it's an even bigger barrier.
But if they engage, because some people, it's like, well, how could you say this guy, God,
is love. How could a loving God send people to hell? We do need to be prepared to answer the questions, right?
No, absolutely you do. I'm just going to say that my kids have never said that.
Right.
It becomes an emotional thing. They might have heard other people say these things.
Sure.
And now they've believed. They've heard an apostle of Satan, you know, say these things, and then they just kind of like, yeah, this makes perfect sense to me.
But what I'm getting at ultimately is we are more, ultimately, the best thing we can be for ourselves or others is to be a vessel for God the best we can. And we're going to be broken vessels regardless. We're not perfect. But if we try to be in touch with God at every moment the best we can, and we try to be in touch with what God wants us to say to that person, and we receive that person in Christ, and we love them for God's sake, and we try to do our best to say exactly what we're hearing God move us to say. And sometimes it can be a tough love message.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But not always. But the point is it's not going to be just one particular moment. God's working within the context of this person's life, every human person's life, every moment matters. And so you don't know what God's doing in that person's life interiorly and around that person when you're not there. So all we can do is do our best to be in touch with what God is moving us to say to our best of our discernment, and then let go of the rest.
100% agree with that. I don't disagree at all. I will say tough love doesn't work. I'm just going to say that. Personal experiences, tough love at that point doesn't work. It's when it comes to them making faith choices, and I'm not arguing with you. But again, this is the practical experience of a father of 9 and a father of 15. How many?
Five.
We have 14 between us. Where it's like you might, you know, you use tough love when they're little, right? And you're teaching them lessons, but they're receptive at that point.
Yeah.
Once they become 18, once they become like in their own minds separated from you, and you're not responsible for the way that they think, tough love will do nothing for them, right? My experience is that way. Now, I'm sure there are situations where when you're further down along a conversation, and they have willingly engaged in a conversation.
Yeah.
Because what I find is they aren't willingly engaging in a conversation because in their mind, they've already made up their minds.
Right.
Right? They're already done. The argument is settled, and I am some kind of antiquated fool that drank the Kool-Aid a long time ago, and that I really don't know what I'm talking about. And that's if I understand that perspective as I'm going into this, then my options have to change.
Yeah.
Right. They don't really want to have a long reasoned conversation. You hope and pray that they will. But what I really liked what you said, Sam, and what is 100% true, and I've said it on the show before, and I've told other people this, but before I ever talk to anyone, before I do this show, I will pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to be present. And that the words that I use will be the words of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't guarantee that I don't get in the way at times because I am human. You said that we're broken and we're fallible and we make mistakes. And our human emotions can sometimes get the better of us. But the reality is, if I'm doing my best always to ask for the Holy Spirit to be present. Now, you don't do it when you're getting ready to talk to your kid, right? You don't stop and go, Lord, send your angels upon me that I may strike with lightning bolts in the soul of my child's dead heart, you know? And you say that out loud, that's probably not going to go well for the conversation that's getting ready to happen. But if you silently just say three words, come Holy Spirit, you just say that and you welcome the Spirit, I promise you the Spirit will be present. I do that before I preach, before I teach, before I counsel or talk. And the thing is, at the end of the day, I think, as you've stated, it's a journey that we have to recognize things. They're not going to be, spur-of-the-moment conversions in a kid that's like just kind of coming of age and coming into themselves, and they're basically rebelled. They've made a decision already, and so you have to get them back to listen again.
Yeah.
Right? So other things not to do, nagging, right? The constant, like, did you go to Mass? Did you go to Mass? Did you go to Mass? It's going to be the same answer. In fact, you're going to push them away, I think, further, right? And then there's also the thing I mentioned before, but asking like them, you need to talk to Deacon Jeff, or you need to talk to a priest, or you need to talk to so-and-so, you know, Tom the theologian. You know, you need to talk to this person, and that needs to be this conversation. What also does, it doesn't work, because they're like going, you're just trying to brainwash me or something. You're to them, it's akin to waterboarding. You know, it's like they're going to drown in the words that are just like spewed upon them, and they don't want to hear any of that stuff. And then of course the other thing that you don't want to do is like to lay the little Bible tracts on the pillow, you know, to leave accidentally leave a CD in the CD player. That's an old school talk. You people don't even know what a CD player is. Most people listening now. But the thing is, like, programs and things. If you just sit through this 12-part series, you know, then you are going to suddenly come back to the church. It's like, I promise you, they're not going to sit for the first part of the first episode of the 12-part series, because they don't want that, right? So that leaves us like in a place where it's like, okay, so what are we supposed to do? Well, I mean, because there's nowhere to go.
I think what you do is you treat your children as adults. You know, most adults, you don't nag them, you don't, you know, tracks in front of them. You don't put CDs in front of them, any of that kind of stuff.
You recognize your autonomy.
You respect them. Yeah. You know? And then also just be yourself. Don't get in their faces. Just love them. Love them where they are, and then let the Holy Spirit work.
Yeah. That's
the Holy Spirit's
job. I think that works, and that'll work for family or friends.
Right.
Right. That be yourself thing.
It's kind of like the Curcio mantra. You know, make a friend, be a friend.
That middle part.
And then bring a friend to Christ.
Yeah. They're not going to come unless
make a friend and be a friend.
Yeah, because what I think what you end up having to do ultimately, I'm going to go ahead and give you the answer, and we still got 5 minutes left in the program. the biggest answer to me, what always I think works the most, is you gain their trust.
Right.
They have to believe that you're not trying to convert them, that you're not trying to brainwash them.
If
that
they're not a project. Yeah.
Exactly. They have to believe that they're not a project, that they're not like some kind of feather that you're going to then go off and brag and say, well, you know, my child was going straight to hell, but you know what? I said these words and they came back. Yeah. You know, I've canceled a multitude of my own sins, you know?
Right.
And it's like, yeah, okay, that's scriptural, but at the same time, you're also with your pride, you're now committing other sins, you know? But really, you have to regain their trust. I mean, you somehow lost it, right? And it's not so much that they don't trust you, it's that they don't need to be, like, guided by you.
What we need to be like is the prodigal son's father.
Run out to meet them.
Yeah, when you see them, be looking for them. And when you see them, then go love them. Go to them.
That's right.
And then embrace them.
Although I will say that I've seen, like, some people, like, overreact when that kid comes to church and they're sitting there nervously, like, I didn't really want to do this, but I've done it. Like, I am so glad you're here. It's so good to see you sitting right here. And isn't this nice? This is wonderful. You know, you can go overboard with that, but...
Right.
The genuineness of the prodigal father, prodigal son's father, that genuineness of that he ran out to meet him.
Yeah.
That right there speaks volumes.
Right.
Well,
the other thing too that speaks volumes to me is that he let him go. You know, sometimes you just have to let go.
Well, that's the respect that you said on the front part.
Right, right.
It's like, hey, you're an adult now.
Yeah.
You're making your own decisions.
Yeah, I'm praying for you.
Now, there's also consequences. You know that, right? But I love you, and I hope this works out for you.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing that comes to mind, because right now there is a movement where a lot of young people are going to more traditional liturgy, traditional Latin Mass, Eastern Rite, more traditional Novus Ordo, like where it's presented ad orientem, facing the priest facing the east, things like that. There's a lot of young people right now who, you know, especially if there's a parish that the music might be a little cheesy, where it's kind of like 1970s kind of pop type music. You might want to ask yourself, is there some liturgy, like a timeless liturgy, in my area that I could explore and drive to? And is it moving my heart with beauty if I find one? And if I see a beautiful timelessness in a liturgy that my child's never been exposed to, that could be an opportunity to, if you fall in love with that beauty, you know, Bishop Aaron says, lead with beauty. In the beauty, they'll see goodness, and the goodness, they'll see truth. explore to see, is have I exposed my child to the most beautiful liturgy that I can? And if you haven't, and you find something truly beautiful that moves your heart, and especially something that's truly timeless, you could maybe shoot your shot to be like, hey, I would like you to experience something with me. It's changed my life. We'll go to breakfast afterwards. Worst case scenario that your kid can say no. But if they are exposed to a side of the Mass that they've never seen before, that invitation can go a long way. It had a big impact on Tom. It's had a big impact on me. And
so, yeah, I don't doubt that at all. It's beautiful. And so as long as the kids don't feel like they're going somewhere and you're going to try to pull a fast one on them, right? and you can always talk about from the perspective of you, what you like, what you love, and what happened to you. Just don't put it on them and say that you should feel this way, you should do this, because that's not going to work either.
Right.
So we've talked about a lot of stuff, but the reality is I think we can go back to that old understanding, like when you get on an airplane and you go through the little safety protocol, and it always tells you to put your mask on first before you put on. So you need to take care of yourself. You need to stay close to the sacraments. You need to stay close to God in prayer. Like you cannot give what you do not have, and they're going to see falseness if you don't really live that way, but you're talking about living that way. And so it's important that you do that. And then also there's something beautiful about the concept of offering it up, right? What we can do, a lot of people don't realize that the Mass is offered for people, but there's a phrase in the first Eucharistic prayer that says, and it's the commemoration of a living. Remember, Lord, your servants and all gathered here whose faith and devotion are known to you. For them, we offer you this sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them. You can make an offering when you go to Mass. Offer it for your kids. Offer it up, as the nuns used to say. And there's something divinely beautiful, supernaturally powerful about grace and how it works in a family. So invite the Holy Spirit in. Get your kids to trust you and just love them. Be yourself. Love them. Realize this is all a journey. You don't look for instant results. We'd all love to be able to brag at our like bridge game how our kids came back to the church. That's not necessarily going to happen until somebody's deathbed. The reality is it takes time. And just know that God loves them, God loves you, and wants everyone to live a life filled with joy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
To the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.